Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine for, it's supposed to be Thursday the 20th. We had a huge bulge of shadow work this week, so we're putting up a late and I apologize to you. We're including questions that came in as of Monday. If your questions came in after that, we'll answer them in the next Ask Catherine, which will be in the first week of February. And as always, I so appreciate your questions. Your questions created the Solaria Report in the first place, so I'm always glad to hear what's on your mind. Okay, let's start with cash and precious metals. So this is something I've answered before, but the subscriber didn't find them in the audios. You might not have realized that the audios publish on Thursday, and that's where you find the answer. Let me read it again. I'm considering financing a friend's mortgage. She has lots of equity and is an extremely honest and honorable person. My question is, what happens when the financial system is replaced? What if we set up monthly payments in dollars and dollars go away? Bank accounts go away. To further complicate things, I plan to stay unvaccinated. She plans to not get any more vaccination. She receives a New Jersey state pension and Social Security disability. I live on my government pension and have Medicare. On the one hand, it would be amazing to be diversified and having a private source of income, but I do not know how to determine the risk of being able to collect if I should lose my rights to having a bank account. I get paid in metals or crypto, set it up like that from the start. Thank you so much for your input. So the first thing I would do is I would make sure I had a good real estate attorney to just make sure that the papers are set up properly. And there's a legal agreement between you and you do have a lien on the property. And that's, for example, your friend's honorable. She can afford to pay the mortgage. But what happens if she gets hit by a truck and suddenly you're dealing with an executor who's, you just don't need to be bothered with. You need the right to exercise your lien on the property. So you just want to make sure it's all done right. The second thing you could do is you could include provisions in your contracts with her that if there is not access by one of the parties to a bank account or both, you agree to to come up with a solution that's mutually acceptable and ensures that you get paid on time. Anyway, so you can do that in the documents, or you can write a side agreement. And it's probably neater and cleaner to do a side agreement, just agreeing on what is the process on how you're going to handle it. And again, it's something that one is mutually acceptable and feasible for both of you, and two, you get paid on time. I wouldn't worry, because I assure you everybody's going to having these problems. And usually when they make changes like that, there are provisions. You could do an alternative in gold and silver if you want to agree to it. But again, agree to the process of how you're going to fix things if either the currency changes or the banking system changes. And so I would tend to use mutually agreed or metals or both. I would work it out. And it sounds to me like she's quite a good credit. So I think there is absolutely no investment you could make in this environment that doesn't have risk. But this is the kind of risk I much prefer to take than many of the others presented by the financial system. So it sounds to me like a very sensible plan. And you just need to come up with the professional documentation for the mortgage deal. And then I would defer to what you and your friend think, but it's probably simpler to put the other in a side agreement, which is also legally binding. The mortgage documents tend to follow a standard form, which makes it easier doing the what if issues in a side issue. But to me, this is very manageable and feasible. And what you need to do is stop fretting and just proceed to think it through and work it through. And again, sounds like a good plan. If you don't know much about the Templar system of money and finance, here is a link. This is where we started, and perhaps elements of this can be incorporated in the reboot. Yes, I think the original Templar banking plan is one of the best plans and is very much impactful in my thinking. In terms of building a global network under very difficult situations and networks of trust, the early Templar networks were remarkable. Someone from South Dakota, I am on Part D of your How to Find a Local Bank article. Part D is profitability and financial soundness. I ask the banks the questions you detail. Problem is, I don't have a finance or banking background, so I have no idea if these answers are okay or if they're red flags. I did not see any red flags in this. Looks perfectly sound and competent to me. And I'm impressed that they would just proceed to send this to you. Some banks balk at that. Looks perfectly grounded to me. You might want to check the bank, some of the bank rating services to see how they're rated and if they raise any red flags. But everything, I just see nothing that looks like a problem to me. And again, I say the same thing. Everything has risk, but this looks pretty sound and grounded to me. I would say I've never had a situation where someone went in, met with them, talked about these issues, even if they don't have a background, where they didn't get an intuitive feeling of feeling comfortable. When a bank president or account officer can answer all these questions and you don't feel any anxiety from them, it's a good sign. Never underestimate your intuition to give you guidance on these things, but looks perfectly, I see no red flags at all. Hi, Catherine. I'm trying to evaluate if purchasing crypto from a company like Market Peak makes sense. Someone in one of your recent interviews commented that one situation sounded like it could be a Ponzi scheme. You responded, not necessarily. Then in part one of Q wrap-up, you suggested beginning to find ways to transact out of the system. So Market Peak, from your description, sounds like something in a million years I would never do. But I confess I need to look more closely at them, but I would stay away from this. It looks like exactly what you don't want to do at the top of a market, but I'll look more closer. But if you don't understand it, don't do it. And if it makes your heart race, don't do it. Or if you want to play around and speculate and try it, you know, put in the amount of money that you're planning on losing. I have no problem. If I want to try something and I don't understand it, I may just pop some money in it to kind of play with it and see how it works. But I'm prepared to lose 100% of that money. And I'm prepared to do it in a way that it doesn't feel uncomfortable. So if it makes your heart race or want to take a cold shower, do not do it. And remember, in this environment, if you listen to Equity Overview, the key to making money in this environment is not to lose it. I just sent to an ally. They were talking about why they didn't want their child to get the COVID-19 injection. And I said, what? You don't want to spend 500 hours a year and 100,000 euros dealing with self-induced chronic illness? Sounds like a time saver and a money saver to me. So that's what I was trying to explain in the equity overview. You know, the best way to make money in this environment is excellence in risk management. And if you don't understand it, you should not be doing it. And if you don't get a positive intuitive feel, don't do it. Now, if it's a speculation, which is this clearly is, you know, you want to make sure speculation, you can make a lot of money, you can lose everything. So don't do a speculation unless you're set up to consciously, intellectually, in a grounded way, manage a speculation as it should be managed, which is don't put any money in. You're not prepared to lose 100% of. I just heard a woman is being asked by her annuity to cash out early. I'm wondering your thoughts. Is this because they don't have the money? But if the markets are doing well, they should be making money. This is pretty interesting. I would have to know a lot more about the terms and conditions of her contract to make an assessment, but I find this to be a very interesting and important signal. You know, they want cash. They want to give her cash before they have a long-term obligation. Anyway, there are many different explanations. Part of it, you need to know the company and what their balance sheet looks like. But if this is turning into a pattern, I want to know. So if anybody else hears about this, let me know. Hello, Catherine. I've been hurt by the COVID. My business of 18 years was closed. I want to thank you for the Wim Hof book. It's been a year, and you're thinking of revitalizing a building and taking a grant. If you take a grant, you need to make sure you understand all the contracts you're going to sign and the terms and conditions, because sometimes grant money is worth it, and sometimes it's comes with a sock in the joint. You have to be careful. So please read all the documents carefully. I would be loath in this environment to go down to zero cash to build things up, but you have to continue to build. So you're going to have to find a way to balance between preserving some kind of cash reserve and making, I like the idea of revitalizing a building and making it go. So as long as I could get the terms and conditions in the contract working, that might be something to do. But you do have to move forward, and we always have to invest moving forward. And Lord knows I've gone down to peanut butter and jelly many times to make my next big thing go. I would lean towards making your next thing go, but just not taking it down to zero, stretching it out and maybe being more modest in your renovation. Hi, Catherine. I'm a 60-year-old, and there has to be a way to get the farm generating more money for you. See if there's anybody who needs to lease. You know, I come from a part of country where everybody leases their property out to hunters to hunt and makes boku bucks on that. Hi, Catherine. I'm a 60-year-old female doctor in Connecticut. I have a financial advisor who doesn't understand the risks of the real deal. So you haven't found a community to work with in Connecticut. If you haven't gotten on Connect, I would really recommend you do this. I can't recommend a financial advisor. What I can tell you is there have been several financial advisors who are very competent and very knowledgeable. I don't always agree with them, so don't assume that we always agree, but you know, they're very competent, very knowledgeable, and you can talk to them about these things because they're familiar with the salary content. So you might want to check them out. You're going to have to make sure that it's somebody you're comfortable with and that you feel comfortable with. It's very, I'm telling you, intuition is a great guide. So, and memories, I really believe memories come from the future. So if the memory from the future is life is not going to be good with this person, don't do it. Anyway, but maybe that helps. I just finished the latest Money in Markets as well as both parts of News Trends and Stories, which conjured up a couple questions. Is Russia investable? They seem to implement long-term problems. Yes, Russia is investable, but you always have to know that if the U.S. decides to kick him out of SWIFT and get sanctions, there could be real problems and hiccups. You might want to think about, instead of investing in Russia, doing some kind of derivative play. I don't mean buying derivatives. I mean, but invest in something that is correlated with Russia or Russia is in cahoots with. But if the sanctions hit, I mean, if this year the Americans boot Russia off of SWIFT, could get clobbered on a Russian portfolio. So I would just be careful. Now, if that happens and you can still trade Russia, depending, you know, if you're in Switzerland, it'll be easier than if you're in the US. That's a great time to buy, as long as you pick your equities right. How do you know when to exit an investment? I'm often able to make good investments, but I usually get too attached and don't sell when things get euphoric. How do you know when to exit an investment? That's a much longer conversation. Part of it is knowing why you own it. So if I own precious metals as a core position to protect against central bank behavior, then I'm never going to sell it. It's a core position. If it's an investment position, I'm going to sell it when the market is overbought and I think there's a sector to go to that's more attractive. So part of it is relative sectors. So you have to have a portfolio strategy. Now, if my goal is to get a yield and I've had the stock forever and so I'm getting an incredible dividend, you know, then I don't care because I want that yield. And if you look at my cost basis, it's not worth selling it to pay taxes. Now, if it's in an IRA, different kettle of fish. So you have to know, do I own this for yield and how does the yield look relative to where else I can go? And then, or do I own this for insurance? So you have to know what you own and why you own. And it's back to not having an investment strategy, having a war strategy, because we're not in peacetime, we're in wartime. And so you have to allay your players on the chessboard to support you. And so let's say you have a portion of your chessboard on the in the equity world, you know, then is your goal to preserve capital or grow capital, or is your goal to produce yield? So you have to know what you own and why you own it and where it fits in the relative scheme of things. Generally, I find that too much trading is not conducive to long-term gains. In other words, if you look at the best strategy in the equity market, the best strategy is a modified buy and hold. You buy when it turns to a bull, and then you sell when it turns to a bear, and go to cash or short-term bonds, and you wait until, you know, the bull starts again, and then you go back in. That's the best performance in the U.S. stock market over, you know, 100 years. It sounds simple. It's very, very hard to do in this environment because you know, what looks like a turn to the bear can easily look like a, can easily turn out to be a we gotcha fooled correction. I think first you need to know why you want it and what you want to get from it. And if you're trading momentum stocks, I think don't be greedy. Don't wait until it's too late. I can't gauge those things without having a very strong map of the macro. That's how I do it. And it's not always right because we're dealing in a situation. We're not dealing in a market. We're dealing in a political rig. And discerning the fundamental economics of a political rig are different. Question, should I look at the college savings accounts as just another pile of money in a different form of diversification? Or can I just as easily use my Roth? Do you have any general thoughts? I think it is unbelievably important to save for your children's education. Now, it doesn't have to be in a college savings account. You know, I have friends who've got a space in their safe and they just add it, you know, they keep adding gold and silver coins. But I think it's very, very important to go to the discipline of steady saving. And so I found a lot of college savings accounts acceptable to me. You know, I haven't looked at all 50 state plans, so I don't know if the Tennessee plan is preferred to the New York State plan. What I will tell you is the jurisdiction and the governance in Tennessee is so far superior to New York that I would never put money in. I would never put money in any New York plan because I just find the finances of the state of Tennessee are so much more prudent. So if you look at the states that have a low per capita debt and a balanced budget, you know, I wouldn't be doing anything in a state. And then, of course, I'd want to look at who the managers are they're using. If they're using BlackRock, I ain't going to use them. But anyway, so it depends on the plan. I would say it's exceptionally important. And interestingly enough, if you look at most of the college savings plans, you can go to school all over the planet. So it's not just limited to one country. It's pretty flexible. If you can just as easily use your Roth and that's simple, I would do that. But I do think it's very, very important to have a discipline. One of the things I try and encourage people is to tell all their friends and family, instead of giving toys and presents at Christmas and birthday, consider contributing to the savings plan, whether or not it's in your safe or in a brokerage account. I have an 11-year-old girl and 9-year-old boy. We homeschool both using a Waldorf-inspired homeschool curriculum that we love from Christophorus. Oh, that looks very good. So the link is here. The owner of Christophorus, Donna Simmons, is extremely knowledgeable about anthroposophy, and he has even given talks on social network locals that are free to listen to here. In December, she gave a series of talks about raising children in these dark times. You can find them through the above link. Thank you very much. That looks very interesting. Catherine, subscriber input, you may want to find the attached. Given the recent announcement from the Indiana Insurance Company, I did some digging. Something is demonstrably afoot and has been well before COVID appeared. Feedback from annuity-informed subscribers may be better those than hosts with funeral home data. Yeah, there are too many deaths, and it looks to me like it's a combination of the great poisoning and the injections. I'm hoping Skidmore will publish his report shortly. It's very informative, but the deaths, it's inconceivable to me that global deaths are not in the millions at this point. This is clearly a genocide. I'm not saying that's the goal or the number one goal, but this is clearly a genocide. And it has the potential, depending on which doctors you listen to turn into, well, the Bolsheviks killed 80 million and the Mao and his group killed 80 million. It's going to, I don't know if it can top 80 million, but given, I now had one scientist told me that they are claiming that 4 billion people have been vaccinated. Now, some were bad batches and some were saline shots and some were God knows what. So we don't know, but we could be looking at the greatest genocide in history if the great poisoning continues to compound the problem created by the injections of weakened immune systems. Question, mass psychosis. I was wondering why you don't think this is plausible. As a PA, I went to a hospital lecture on public health, which was very bizarre. The lecturer said things like, if you hang around with smokers, you smoke. I bought his book, Connectedness, because I suspected something was not right. That book details how fear runs through communities and how a town in the U.S. lock themselves in their homes over fear of a monster in the area. Then a psychiatrist explained how If people are fearful, they are unable to use the logic part of their brain. Next, I had a friend who seemed to be in government corruption way before COVID drop off a vaccine book for me. The book details the CDC whistleblower on how they know vaccines cause autism. The friend's grandson is severely autistic. Then this guy goes and gets the vaccine. I asked him why he would, when that book explained the lying and corruption in our CDC. He said he saw a commercial with a tube and he thought his anxiety wouldn't take it if he had to be there in there due to COVID. First, there is no tube, but people fear MRI machines, so perhaps marketing had it in the commercial as a trigger. Anyway, that is what I think is mass psychosis, when fear overrides the ability to use logic. Mass psychosis is something that is generated by emotion. It's not generated by individualized and custom entrainment, subliminal programs tailored and delivered one by one to people on their smartphones and TV. That's not mass psychosis. It looks like mass psychosis because everybody is in a state of psychosis, but understand how they got there. It wasn't because it just rippled, is emotional reaction that rippled among people, which can happen. Crowds do go mad together. But you have to understand, what was it that started the fear? What was it that started the psychosis? And in most cases, not all cases, but in most cases, it's highly individualized stimulus that is being covertly delivered. Now, if you don't understand that, you need to read my article. There are links in my article to Deep State Tactics and to our collection of mind control links. But if you do not understand the high technology that is being used to influence you and brainwash you, you need to understand it, because you cannot risk manage your life and you cannot organize the investment of your time and resources unless your mind is clear. My husband, a surgeon, said it looks like Auschwitz with people lined up to get the jab and now with their kids. I still believe the money is the starting point, but I also believe these bankers co-opted the public health people to use fear and mass psychosis to get us to obey without question. Yes, that's true. You know, but they also use control files or assassinations or threats or secret contracts to control that bureaucracy. So you need to see this is not either or, but before you can create and get hundreds of millions of people behaving contradictory to their own best interest, you need to deliver lots of carrots and sticks and in very nuts and bolts ways at the individual level. And that is an enormous control network and a covert social credit network that is operating. And if you are going to navigate this, you need to see it. Okay? Doesn't mass psychosis fit into the narrative, although not as a first cause? I don't know. That's like saying, does popcorn fit into baseball? Yes. Or hot dogs. But I think you have to put them in perspective. You need to see how mass psychosis is engineered and created one person at a time. Question. Now that SCOTUS has declared OSHA mandates to be illegal, does that allow lawsuits against companies, politicians, governors, OSHA, and Biden? Now that there is significant evidence in the public domain that Pfizer committed criminal fraud in their presentation of their vaccine trials, does that allow lawsuits against anyone who is connected with injections of Pfizer shots, mandates, and promotions? Can hospitals be sued for incompetence or grave indifference? That is a very good question. And we're seeing regular reports coming out of Doctors for COVID Ethics and Suchrat Bhakti on the initial pathology reports. And I would say if you take what has come out from Pfizer, as well as the pathology reports, there looks to be a strong legal basis to argue that the liability protections afforded to vaccines do not cover what we're dealing with. In other words, you're killing millions of people. It's murder. It's genocide. And they knew that this would happen. And I think that can be documented and proved in a court of law with the pathology results. And it wouldn't surprise me if you got a lot of insurance companies, if Lloyd's of London didn't call up Boris and say, back off, because they're afraid of this. I mean, you're talking about trillions of dollars. Dear Catherine, I would like to thank you so much. You responded to my Ask Catherine mail last Thursday. Only a very small percentage of people of your degree of celebrity have ever responded to my email. So it has been proven that communication with you is possible. I'm glad to suggest this idea. I'm a biologist and have worked for 15 years in the biological laboratory. So if I were a Pfizer employed as the evil scientist, I would immediately suggest we have great effort and political arm twisting established a worldwide chain of distribution of our drugs with negative 70 degrees cold chain, which basically transformed the whole world into our laboratory and all the people into our experimental objects. So we have to keep this alive and kicking, and we have to diminish the immediate reactions to our drugs to a minimum level so that people, our experimental objects, don't complain and can't connect the dots. Our spike proteins distributed through mRNA insert into the cell membranes, and everybody knows well that this is very similar to the membrane channels which respond to neurotransmitters. Therefore, especially as our drugs can transverse the blood-brain barrier, we have to develop membrane proteins that will function as opiate drugs that will make experimental objects to people in the whole world dependent, and they have not received their next month booster. They will demonstrate in front of the parliament to get it in order to feel better. So the prophecy, you will own nothing and be happy, will automatically become true. So I think the question is, are the ingredients, including the secret ingredients, designed to improve the ability to mind control people, especially using cellular technology and satellites? And the answer is, you know, I think that's a reasonable hypothesis. Because in fact, if you look at what World Economic Forum was saying, with it's 2030, you have no assets and you'll be happy, they're talking about mind controlling people and stripping them of their assets. I could write this in more detail, but I know your time is always too short. Although I carefully follow your work in interviews and the Doctors for COVID Ethics, I haven't heard this obvious hypothesis. Actually, I've been talking about this for quite a long time. You know, they're clearly trying to figure out how to install an operating system. And the question is, you know, what and how is the operating system going to work and what they're going to do with it? And I'm loath to really harp on this, because what we really need to do is find out what the secret ingredients are. If you look at the links on mind control, what you'll see is there's been a lot of effort to get things in our bodies that clearly work like transmitters or improve the receiving of invisibly engineered sort of electromagnetic, or things that impact our electromagnetic body and our intelligence. Part of that clearly has to be mind control. If you look at what was in the spring, and still is in the spring. So the COVID-19 injections are far from the first, and I suspect far from the last, of what they're going to use to get heavy metals and other sort of trans materials that help transmit. Anyway, and have a nice day in Friesland. I was there in 2020. Hello, Catherine. I was wondering what your thoughts are on this latest Mercola effort article on the existence of SARS-CoV-2 and by extension purportedly causing COVID-19. I think this would make an interesting discussion. I'm highly confident that there was an engineered virus in the mix, but I think it's one of 10 things in the mix. I keep telling people everywhere I go, there's a heavy spraying and then people get sick, and there's heavy spraying and then people get sick. So there's some kind of chemical poisoning going on. I've referred to Mercola many times over the years for health stuff and have learned vast amounts of information. I know you have a lot of respect for them, yet I'm personally not convinced all this genetic sequencing they're doing actually proves anything. I don't know. But I'm telling you, Rappaport is right. It's never one thing. We're dealing with a phenomena, not a disease. I heard you refer to COVID-19 as a phenomena, which I think is a great word for it. Yep, that's what it is. I've trained with John Rappaport for decades. All I know is that it's people like yourself and David Icke, who I always thought was a loony until he started to be right about everything, who are the only ones who predicted this chain of events, not medical people like Mercola, which makes me personally inclined to also believe that Icke insists that it doesn't even exist, that it has not, in fact, been satisfactorily isolated and subsequently proven to cause disease. Okay, if I were these guys, I would engineer a virus and dump it out just so I could, you know, play the game. So one of the reasons I don't go down the rabbit hole of does it exist or not is, one, no scientists are absolutely swearing that they isolated it. And I think they're people of integrity. I don't think they're trying to lie. I don't think they're, you know, overly mind controlled. But I also think, you know, the phenomena could easily be the, because to me, germ theory, I just don't believe in germ theory. But if you haven't read Virus Mania, I recommend it. But it wouldn't surprise me if this whole thing is engineered in a variety of ways and they dumped down an engineered virus in the mix just so, you know, they can create this confusion and divide and conquer. Dear Catherine, I'm a healthcare practitioner, own a community holistic health clinic. We've provided quality holistic healthcare on an affordable sliding scale. The pandemic has challenged us in many ways. This month, we don't have our full patient load. In fact, we may not be able to make the rent. I've come to two conclusions on how to move forward. I'd like your thoughts on the validity of these two conclusions, and if valid, in your opinion, how best to implement them. I believe that in order to survive, we may need to go public about our rejection of some of the mandates that have been imposed on us. Advertising opportunities like the New York Freedom List and Project Stand Together support businesses that reject the mandates and are not afraid to be on a list about it. The idea here is to cultivate a clientele that appreciates our stance and is not afraid to be out and about right now. In order to weather whatever storms come as a result of taking a public stance, we need to build a community of like-minded people. I like to put together an advisory board or something along that vein. A group of people can advise us on how to defend ourselves if need be. What do you think about the idea that we should come out of the closet about our rejection of the Main Street narrative on COVID-19 and the mandates? As it stands, we send critical information about the vaccines to our email list, but don't post anything online. Would it be wiser to stay quiet, given that we can't afford to pay even one fine for noncompliance with mandates? And do you have any advice on how to build an advisory board or something similar in preparation for whatever may come? Thanks in advance for your thoughts on the matter. Business insight that takes into account the reset is hard to come by. Okay, so this one is difficult, and it's difficult because you can't afford to take the fine, but you're never going to find your tribe without communication. Ideally, if I was in your situation, I would try to get far more communicative about your stand, but do it within networks or within chapters or teaming up and helping the CHD chapter in your place. Another way to do it is to be very bold about marketing to people who are vaccine injured. It's another way to do it. So it'd be great to be a lot more bold without having to have it plastered all over your website and in that sense go public. However, rather than let myself go down because I was losing my market share and income flow, I would go public. And why not, if you're going to go down because of a fine and they destroyed you, and that gives you a basis to come back up in another way. You may not be able to, you may have to shut down the business, but then you've got a consulting practice for some of the people going forward. There's no way back. You have to go forward. And the only way to go forward, I find, is to find your tribe. And that's what you're going to have to do. So whether there's a modified aggression or full out of the closet, that's your pathway. And you can't just keep holding on the rope, being afraid to fall. That's not going to work. You have to, the best is an offensive. Now, how do you find a business or sort of an advisory board? Find the people you've healed. The best marketer and the best advisor are people that you've really helped to heal. And who clearly, you know, they want you as a resource, they need you as a resource, but I would start there and keep it really small. You don't need a lot of people. I'd listen to the interview with Thomas Meyer on the story of Gideon, but you need people who really appreciate what you do and care. And you don't need a lot, you just need a few. So do a search for Gideon at Solari and listen to my interview with Thomas Meyer, and that'll give you a real good sense of how to proceed. Anyway, I hope that helps. If you have more questions, just throw them into Ask Catherine again. I have to say, if you look at what's going on in the world, everybody needs you. So there's a market out there for you. Is it just me or has anyone noticed that the two recent additions, the FLCC.net one mask at home treatment protocol, iodine and black cumin seed oil, turn it into a radiation illness protocol? I don't think that's a coincidence. Just wondering if anyone else noticed. That's fascinating. I have no idea. We keep getting this crossover between radiation poisoning and what's going on with COVID. Comment, I sent a letter to a local movie theater that was requiring vaccine passports. It was drafted by CHD and given to me by someone active at Solari. I believe they sent letters to the theater also. They no longer require vaccination papers, still require masks. Beautiful. Push back. It's what CJ Hopkins said, add friction every chance you get. Question. I'm stupid. I'm referring to myself and my understanding of this wonderful scientific stuff. I don't have any idea what they're talking about. CRISPR, gain of function, spike proteins, now bat and spike proteins running on virus vector. Remember, you can always go to Wikipedia and look these things up. And if you do it every time, or a dictionary, look them up. Every time you learn a word or a technical term, you just learn over time. But I'm with you. I find it very challenging. They have resurrected the bat. It worked the first time around. Yeah. So now we're on bats that used to be monkeys. I only have some basic tools, common sense, extraordinary patience, endless persistence, and open mind, somewhat rational, and I read. I observe lots and talk with everyone and anyone who will chat when I'm searching for answers. I have a question. Has anyone offered a reason why anti-parasitic medications are working on this non-parasitic stuff? I find this a very important question. Very important. When I read, there's a comment subscriber input by one guy who was talking to a biologist or a doctor who said when he was back in the day, he did 30 autopsies, or his medical group in Washington did 30 autopsies on 30 people who died of heart problems. And all of them, all 30 had the hearts had heartworms. Thought that was very interesting. When I read through the diseases and symptoms of A to Z parasites, I find every kind of condition we face. So Hilda Clark, if you haven't discovered Hilda Clark, you want to discover, but she basically took a lot of disease back to the parasite problem, which I think is very true. Here's a quote from Celia Farber on AIDS. Some people, same playbook, different continent. All parasitic infections are at least somewhat immunosuppressive. There is little difference between the immune system of so-called AIDS patient and undernourished one who suffered chronic parasitic infections. Yep. How many people have gotten sick and died from COVID brain versus AIDS brain? So I think the parasite sort of intersection is very, very interesting. Hi, Catherine. I'm a new subscriber. Is it possible to send content questions to Solari? Yes. Yours is the only email I see. Can you pass on my question, comment? So you can always put something in the support ticket as well. Solari is the only source of information I can find which discusses money in a macro sense. Everyone else is focused on one aspect of what is going on, like the Indian story of the nine blind men touching different parts of the elephant, perceiving this large animal so differently. In this month's video, Money Markets with John Titus, Catherine Mann mentioned a short video by someone named Karsten, located in Basel, I presume Switzerland, which explained a monetary matter very simply. This video, Catherine said, could be accessed under the cash and coin section of the newsletter of the website. I can't find it. So if you go to the homepage and click on Cash Friday, it will be at the top of the page. I applauded. And now usually there's at Money and Markets, there are links in subscriber resources to any links that we mentioned. I applied John Titus's statement that he make videos which presented macroeconomic and money in an understandable way to beginners. I'm not exactly a beginner, but I only understand 35 to 40% of what you said in January 2022, Money Matters. Make sure as you're listening to us, if there's a technical term like balance sheet or accounts receivable, if you don't really understand or know that word, just look it up. A lot of this is getting the each term understood. I find the discussion between the two of you extremely educational because I get a two-point perspective, but even so, I understand only a fraction of what you're saying. 56-second videos capturing the essence of systems which you are discussing, please bring them to the top of the homepage so we can find them. Not long videos, short videos which capture the essence of the connections between the elephant's tusks and neck, legs, heart, lungs, and circulatory system. I will do that. I will keep looking for short videos, but you'll definitely enjoy that one, of course. And so go to the homepage, click on Cash Friday and watch it. It's only 56 seconds, and boy, does it explain what's going on. Central control. Hi, Catherine. I was at my doctor's office today, and they're showing a video called Reducitarianism. It's basically the war on meat that you've been talking about. They show that the whole food market will focus on more quality over quantity and how everybody should reduce their meat and dairy consumption. People should choose to eat more fruits and vegetables. It's starting to sound like an initiative for the social credit score, which will control what we're going to eat. Yep, they want you to eat Bill Gates' synthetic food and they get the steak. This is inflation. This is what happens when you print so much money. you know, the price of steak is going to increase by a multiple of 10 or 20 times. And the way to deal with that is start feeding people insects. Hi, Catherine. Recently, I told you about making some fake money with a message you have been fooled. It never was about your health, always was about getting you to agree to a system of control. This is really funny. So you sent pictures of the money. You've been using fake dollars, I guess you download. Pretty funny. So the picture's in the notes. Dear Catherine, I considered myself fortunate when you made the offer of Wim Hof book to those who've been injured or suffering. I will die before I take the injection. As soon as I realized back in 2020 what the true agenda was, warned friends. I had to tiptoe in those conversations because until then I didn't think much about where a friend got their news and thus how they were forming their opinions. Being called a domestic terrorist by our president has a way of making us cautious. After seeing that we are around brain damaged and mind controlled people is an enormous stress in and of itself. That is absolutely true. And I know how you feel, and I really feel for you. Has another friend succumbed to the jab and thus had mental, spiritual, and bodily changes? My partner and I have said less and less to all friends who've tried to develop new relationships with like minds, but we're still keeping tabs on those in old circles. In the past week, we lost a longtime friend in the healthcare industry who took the jab as a condition of his employment 7 months ago. He immediately developed clots in his legs, went on disability, and every time he tried to return to work, the clots returned. He died 2 days ago. We are grief-stricken and shocked that what we had anticipated might happen due to reports from our brave and honest doctor whistleblowers has come true in our own little world. In the meantime, I hired a friend that I thought to be solid and smart to be my real estate agent. While representing me, he and his wife both took the jab. He immediately got pneumonia on his left lung and became defensive about his illness, insisting on continuing to work, although quite sick. He has since been consistently aggressive, defensive, and hostile. He has lost his ability to think as well. He can no longer even fill out a real estate form or carry on a conversation. His wife has become paranoid and aggressive. As an empath myself, I see that God's spark has died in them. They're like empty shells of people. I feel like I'm walking around in the village of the invasion of the body snatchers, seeing this in my neighborhood, the grocery store, and social circles. I'm a mediator already. I have a thyroid condition that makes cold showers sound absolutely off the list for me, but I would like to see what else Wim Hof might have to teach me. Thank you so much for the kind offer of a book. Okay, I think from this note that we've already sent you the book, but if we haven't, please put in a support ticket. I'm not sure if I should put in a support ticket on this, but we definitely will get you a Wim Hof book. Just please confirm if you haven't gotten it, that because I need it to go into a different place. Anyway, please put in a support ticket. We'd love to send you a book. I've been enjoying your website. Hi, Catherine. I've been enjoying your website for several months. I've browsed through it several times. I would love to have a conversation about what exactly to do. Okay, so you describe your situation, and I saw there are solar circles. So make sure you get on Connect and connect with the circles in the place you want to move to. It looks like you're headed to Texas. Anyway, I'm not sure what it is. I'm not in a position to call and talk because I'm not sure what it is you feel I can do to help, but I don't do individual consultations anymore. But if you could let me know specifically what you're looking for, definitely get on Connect or send me something to ask Catherine about where in Texas you want to go, because I want to make sure you get put in touch with the right people. You're probably looking at Hill Country above Austin or the Panhandle. I have to tell you, we have some great people in the Panhandle, and I love the Panhandle. I'm presently listening to your part one wrap-up with Dr. Joseph Farrell. I'm interested in listening to the previous dialogue you shared with him as to your conjectures about who Mr. Global Baloney is. So it's called Who is Mr. Global with Dr. Joseph Farrell. If you put Mr. Global or Farrell in the search box, it'll come right up. Easy to find, and I think I emailed it to you when the question came in. I wanted to check what bank in Pennsylvania you referred to on the CHD TV show with Polly. One of the subscribers indicated it's National Bank of Malvern, so I just wanted to confirm this is the one you referred to. Yes, I and Solari Investment Advisory Services all bank at the National Bank of Malvern, and the National Bank of Malvern is owned by the trust owned and controlled by my cousins. So it's been in my cousin's family for multiple generations. Anyway, so And I love them and adore them. I think they're great backers. But just so you know, I have a conflict of interest because I am related and love them to pieces and just respect and admire them. They do a great job. And it's hard to do because, you know, they're in the system along with everybody else. They're regulated and controlled by the Office of the Comptroller, the currency, and the Fed, just like everybody else. How do I send a donation for Dr. Farrell through your site? You just mail us a check. Just mail us a check. Soleri, Inc., P.O. Box 157, Hickory Valley, Tennessee, 38042, and or a money order. And but make it payable to Dr. Farrell, not to us, and we'll forward it. Dear Catherine, thank you for your relentless, unwavering commitment to the truth, having tremendous respect for your insight. I was wondering if you had any thoughts on the topic below. I am a person of faith like yourself and firmly believes God's creation are not in vain. What is going on seems to be beyond how humans think and operate. Greed and power don't seem to be enough of a driving force. I came across this material recently, a concept here I have no familiarity, but I'm wondering now if this is what is driving the train. So it's a letter from Vigano. You know, there's some pretty weird stuff in the mix, and there's no doubt Farrell and I think interdimensional intelligence is a major, if not driving part. You know, so some people call it the devil or Satan. Anyway, but there are other things in the mix too, and that's why you probably want to listen to Who is Mr. Global that I did with Farrell so that we could go into this in detail. Also, here's an idea. The ticket that wins the 2024 U.S. presidential elections, Catherine Austin Fitz Robert Kennedy Jr., just putting it out there. Okay, so here's the thing. If I work for the pro-decentralization team, and the presidency and vice presidency of the United States is controlled by Mr. Global, and the banks and contractors, and, you know, the guns of the Secret Service turn outside and inside. And right now, we still don't have a critical mass of people who are willing in the country to push the red button so the president can't. So the last thing you want to do is take one of the most or some of the most valuable players from the pro-decentralization team and put them under the control of the pro-centralization team. I will say this. I think Robert Kennedy has immensely seasoned experience, governance, and political skills. And so is he perfectly capable of making a great president? Yes, I think he is. Although it'd be hard given his voice, it'd be very hard work, but he's clearly not a person who's afraid of hard work. He's shown absolutely no inclination to run for political office. And I think one of the reasons is he doesn't want to be killed and he doesn't see getting killed to be a useful activity. But also at the same time, you know, again, you're talking about two people. I'm not a politician. I'm a money person and a risk manager. So the last place I belong is in politics. I don't begin to have Kennedy's skills. You know, I can know what to do, but I run out of patience. So I'm not inclined to do it. But I think it's very important for you to understand that Mr. Global right now controls the banks and the corporate contractors and Mr. Global control the presidency of the United States. And, you know, the Secret Service guns turn in and they turn out. And unless you understand that, you don't understand the power of millions of people taking action to shift things. Without that bottom-up swell, there's nothing that could be done in Washington. And that's why we're all sitting around watching presidential politics while Mr. Global is taking control and ownership with the banks and corporations of our county, our community, our sheriff's office. If we're not going to win this back bottom up, there is no hope. Nothing can be done in Washington. And I've made this case for 30 years to everybody who listen, and it's beyond frustrating. So I once wrote an article, I had a group of people who were trying to get me to run for president in the early 2000s in the hope that it would bring transparency. And I wrote an article called Why I Declined to Run for the Presidency of the United States. So I got a relative calling me up and saying, okay, what would it take to get you to run? What would it take? We'll give you anything you want. What will it take? I said, you have to give me 250 licenses to kill. So I'm free to kill whoever I want, whenever I want. I have a team of assassins who can do it. And she just flipped out. She said, that's the most unethical criminal thing I've ever heard. And I said, how am I going to run a criminal enterprise unless I have the ability to enforce? She said, it's disgusting. It's the most, you know, that's outrageous. If you shouldn't run for president, you're not qualified. So another person who believed in the appearance of the rule of law. So, you know, I don't think you want to hear my list of how many licenses to kill I would need to run things now. Going direct reset, new topic, question, Catherine. I am seeing a passport QR code creep happening here in the States. According to the Massachusetts governor, 20 states are working together to develop the QR code. The governor in Massachusetts says this is not mandatory. So the towns like Boston were able to mandate it. This creep of the QR code is happening in many big cities. How are we going to fight this? Okay, one, don't use them. Just don't comply. Number two, push back everywhere you can. Add friction. But three, it's bigger than this because they're going to use IDs and biometric systems. They got many different ways to create the digital concentration camp. And it's not just vaccine passports, the QR code. We got to push back against, you know, and get all this crap out of your house. Get it out of your house. Start using cash. We've got to have the integrity to reduce the digital tech control. One room, one car, you know, one, keep your smartphone turned off and in a Faraday bag or in the car, or just throw it out completely. Dear Catherine, oh, and if you haven't looked at Corey Lynn's great article that she did in the first quarter last year, Loosen Technology Grip, definitely check it out. Lots of good tips. Thank you for your great work that you were doing. I'm totally fascinated listening to your interview. Great talk with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in his new book. Also, the Aralinda book is truly special and inspiring. Does everything boil down to these two main problems, the CIA and the central bank? In essence, yes. One is covert intelligence capacity. The other is private central bank, both operating under secrecy. So one subverts the rule of law and two finances the subversion of the rule of law. I would add to that the absence of transparency. On the financial coup, if the money gets stolen, there's obviously no money left to pay for pensions, healthcare, education. Best would be if some pensionados would leave this world one way or another. You got it. That's how you balance the books. If you can't create financial responsibility, then you lower life expectancy. A Norwegian friend jokingly compared the situation to the mythological, I don't know what that, how to pronounce that. In ancient times, elderly clan members used to ritually jump off a cliff when they became a burden to society. Yep, that's what we're looking at. Best wishes from a Dutch musician in exile with my girlfriend. I'm currently taking care of a historical sheriff's farm in northern Norway. Oh, how beautiful. We had a wonderful video on Let's Go to the Movies last year about a couple that lived in this beautiful dome in northern Norway. Oh, the lights. Recommended links. Here's a link to It's Theological, an article on my website in case you might think of interest to your subscribers. I'll take a look. Another link, Gareth Icke talks to Dr. Love about how the vaccines are causing the variants of disease. Yeah, the latest from the pathologist is absolutely frightening. And I think that maybe they're really afraid of the legal liability. And of course, the Supreme Court saying no to the employee mandates really cuts the momentum. University of Chicago must end its booster mandate. We are not lab rats. That's an editorial. Good. Good evening, Ms. Fitz. I don't have a question. Just wanted to share that I purchased a Wise phone. It has the basics. No apps, no ads, no, ooh, this looks good. I'm going to check it out. So they ditched Apple. Wise phone is Android. I'll check it out. I'm way overdue in figuring out the cell phone thing. I just may have to throw it in the lake. For people who might be interested in news with a Christian point of view, here's a link to John Holler's Prophecy Update, a Christian non-jab weekly news update through Fellowship Bible Chapel. He does 1 to 2 updates weekly. This has been a wonderful resource for what is happening in areas that no one else seems to be reporting on as a deep dive to get information. The Middle East information is very good. He does mention the Bible passages and parts of the video. It can be found at YouTube. Thank you for this. It's been so depressing to lose a lot of my favorite preachers over the, you know, just kind of watched them disappear into the trance. Then somebody sent prosecuting gold lists. I haven't seen that one. U.S. government plans to force all new vehicles to have a kill switch. You really want to start buying excellent condition old automobiles. The last thing you want is a car with a kill switch because it can literally kill you. Then another link from Reiner Fulmich's efforts. Leaked Fauci financials expose how millionaire doctor profited from pandemic. Yeah. So Fauci's made a lot of money on killing people. He's a death killer and it's profitable. How Skull and Bones plans to co-opt worldwide resistance to the pandemic. I'll take a look at that. Then there's a list of companies that use fetuses in their product development or products. That's very interesting. I hadn't seen that. Coffeeandcovid.com. What's that? Okay, very sophisticated propaganda on Jimmy Kimmel. AJ DePriest has researched the massive government money paid to schools to mask and vaccinate children. Yeah, this was on Highwire, and it's a woman from Tennessee who's really done a deep dive on how the money works on the schools. And it's another, you know, great example of one person just doing what they can do and really making an amazing contribution. She's quite wonderful. But also it shows you, you got to homeschool. You got to homeschool. You got to find a way to build a local taxation boycott that engineers the money over to new schools. But, you know, I hate to say it, this infrastructure is gone. And the question is, how do we protect the money pools associated with it? I'm so distrustful of government now. My first thought is, could this be a Trojan horse? So this is the bill that John and I talked about in Money and Markets, saying the Fed can't do bank accounts. Instead, the people who own the Fed can do private bank accounts that are not subject to the same public disclosure and obligations as the Fed. So if you think it can't be worse than the Fed, it can't. And John and I talk about it. Okay, those are the links. Great links. Thank you so much. I'm trying to keep up with you guys. Great stuff going on at Subscriber Input, both on the commentaries and the Subscriber Input section. You know, I have to tell you, it was interesting when Skidmore did his survey. He asked for demographic information on our update readers. And it's the same thing I see whenever I see a lot of information about both the Solaria subscribers and the Solaria audience. As Franklin Sanders would say, y'all are so smart. Anyway, so we're getting more intelligence and we're making each other smarter. And that's important because if we're going to navigate this and come out ahead and really make a difference, we need to collaborate and share as much intelligence as possible. So I'm so grateful for you because you really make me smart. Anyway, so ladies and gentlemen, you have a wonderful 2 weeks. I'll be back in the first week of February. And don't forget, you know, for 2022, don't ask if there is a conspiracy. If you're not in one, definitely start one. Remember, conspiracies can be a lot of fun. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.